From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 20th of May, 2009. As for why there was no report yesterday, well, let's just say that I should have looked at the expiry date on the can of Sloppy Joe mix before I started feeling its effects. Back on Monday, I mentioned the blasphemous misuse of Bible verses by then-Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld in cover sheets to top secret intelligence briefings to President George W. Bush. Monday morning, I only had the initial text reports. Later on Monday, I saw several of the pages themselves, as published by the magazine GQ. The effect these have had on me is essentially the same as an image that was caught on film and incorporated into the first episode of the documentary TV series The World at War back in 1976. In that image, from December of 1933, Nazi Germany, a huge swastika light is suspended over a considerably smaller cross light atop a Christmas tree. What Rumsfeld did in taking those Bible verses out of context and using them to appeal to Bush's twisted concept of Christianity is every bit as cynical, hateful, and downright blasphemous as anything Joseph Goebbels did by taking Christianity as the German people of 1933 knew it and contorting it into a caricature that the Nazis could eventually uproot it with. It was what is really meant in the concept of taking God's name in vain, the application of God's name to a murderous political lie, not a momentary utterance for God to damn something. As I have mentioned earlier in this series of programs, I am a member of Water of Life Metropolitan Community Church here in Tucson. I am a Christian, and it much more than merely annoys me when I have to further define my faith to a stranger who confuses Christianity with a cynical, bogus doctrine put forth by those who falsely claim to be Christians, but who are in fact only devoted to an economic and political religion of their own fabrication that they masquerade as Christianity. The kind of religionist personified by the Pat Robertsons, Jack Van Impes, and Jerry Falwells of our nation, who have the biggest media bullhorns and proudly use them to proclaim 9/11 to be God's wrath against America for following liberal policies, or AIDS and HIV being God's plague on homosexual men, and so on and so forth. In his letter to the Galatian church, Paul demanded to know who had bewitched them into believing a bogus perversion of Jesus' real message. It's not hard to find the modern-day equivalent. It's the Robertsons, Van Impes, Rumsfelds, and Bushes, who falsely claim Jesus as their philosopher and kill thousands of Americans and Iraqis to prove it. Because I am a Christian, and their false doctrine has hijacked the image of Christianity and amplified their demonic vision through the mass media, many listening to this program today have at least an inclination to lump me in with them. And the most frustrating thing about this is that those of us who follow, or at least try to follow, what Jesus is quoted in the Gospels as actually saying, have little or no willingness to fight back against the bogus religionists. I don't know how to do it. Being physically disabled, I'm not even sure I'd be able to help organize it. But there must be, in Martin Luther King Jr.'s phrasing, a marvelous new militancy among those who actually live by Jesus' actual message against the spiritual rapists who pervert it for their personal enrichment. I would hope such would not need a new Mohandas Gandhi or Joan of Arc, because for once I'd like to see a successful movement of this sort that didn't necessarily depend on a cult of personality to act as its stimulus. But if a new Gandhi or St. Joan is still needed, so be it. We are not the morally confused, but they are clearly the ethically corrupt. I haven't checked yet, but I would be very surprised to learn that one of those Bible verses that Rumsfeld misappropriated for Bush's briefings was Matthew 7:15. the final warning in the Sermon on the Mount, as it fits Rumsfeld, Bush, Robertson, Van Impe, and their lot perfectly. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Jesus goes on to say, you will know them by their fruits. The fruit of the Bush administrations were innocent blood spilled and death by the bushel, not vastly unlike the strange fruit in the song Billie Holiday used to sing, just a different manifestation of it. Jesus went on to wrap up his point in Matthew 7:22, in what I'm convinced will happen to these spiritual rapists on Judgment Day. It will probably turn out to be a big surprise to them. I suspect Rumsfeld definitely steered way clear of using that verse. The U.S. Senate slapped President Obama 90-6 on financing the transfer of Guantanamo Bay prisoners to a lockup in Montana. A lot of those voting to keep Gitmo running a little longer were complaining that they don't want the prisoners on United States soil, as if Gitmo isn't. Thing is, the Castros have been saying that same thing since 61, and the U.S. Navy is still there. A 2,600-page report on abuse of Irish school children for decades at the hands of priests and nuns has just been published in Dublin, and it's causing outrage from victims and their families because none of the abusers is identified by name. The report concludes with a statement, a climate of fear created by pervasive, excessive, and arbitrary punishment permeated most of the institutions and all those run for boys. Children lived with the daily terror of not knowing where the next beating was coming from. The pages leading up to that statement are filled with harrowing reports of beatings and rapes of reform school students. The Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of all Ireland, Cardinal Sean Brady, has issued an apology on behalf of the Catholic Church. But this is certainly not the last we'll hear about this report. Rush Limbaugh took time out from his OxyContin addiction to demand that MSNBC stop bringing up his name in its programs for 30 days. Now, what was that comment Harry S. had? If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Limbaugh never paid attention to that one because Truman was a Democratic president. Those who recall Limbaugh's failure as a top 40 disc jockey in Pittsburgh in the 70s will remind you that Rush was canned more times in that town than Iron City beer. Speaking of Boss Limbaugh, former Secretary of State Colin Powell told an audience in Boston last night that both Limbaugh and Dick Cheney can go to hell. Powell claims there's still room in the Republican Party for his form of allegedly moderate politics, trying to resurrect the wing that largely died out with the political careers of John Anderson, Charles Percy, and Nelson Rockefeller. Miami radio station WQAM has suspended longtime talk host Neil Rogers indefinitely with pay for dropping an F-bomb on the air. Rogers says it's the station's fault it went out over the air, as WQAM recently moved into a new studio location, and Rogers, who does his show from a studio in his Toronto home, found the station had disconnected his 7-second delay dump button as part of that move without telling him. Rogers fans are quite the rabid bunch when angered, so WQAM General Manager Joe Bell, the target of the original expletive, has a lot of incoming fireballs he's ducking today. A New Jersey pirate radio station has been shut down by the federal communications corruption. The Salsa Music Station, transmitting on 90.5 megahertz from Paterson, was interfering with the signal of Fordham University's WFUV, an NPR affiliate, on 90.7 from atop Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. Jairo Diaz and Frank Rodriguez, both of Paterson, were fined $1,000 apiece and their equipment confiscated. Yoko Ono is feeling yet another wave of heat from John Lennon fans. She is taking the clothes that Lennon wore when he was assassinated in 1980, still encrusted with his blood, and put them in an alleged art display. I kind of understood when she put a foil of Lennon's blood-stained eyeglasses on the cover of her Season of Glass album, released only 7 months after the murder in 1981. But this stunt, almost 30 years after the incident, is just too much. It would be akin to one of the surviving Kennedys sending every household in America a DVD of the Zapruder film. I suspect she would like for me to tell you where the display can be found. The autopsy on Marilyn Chambers found that the Smutreel star died of a cerebral hemorrhage and aneurysm linked to heart disease. The Los Angeles Medical Examiner's Office released the toxicology results yesterday. No sign of substance abuse. Only two prescription drugs, not in excessive amounts, were found in her system. Obituaries today include one for Nicholas Maw, the British classical music composer whose best-known works may be Odyssey and the opera he wrote of William Styron's novel Sophie's Choice, a combination of dementia and diabetes at 73 in Tacoma Park, Maryland, where he had lived for his last years. Also one for Wayne Allwine, the actor who has been the voice of Mickey Mouse since 1977, diabetes in Los Angeles at 62, Allwine's wife, Russie Taylor, has been the voice of Minnie Mouse since 86. She's also the voice of Martin Prince on The Simpsons. And one for yet another rapper, Anthony Burton II, better known as Dalla. Shot in Beverly Hills, California at 21. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com, and please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today. An Adelaide woman has been arrested after reports that she was directing traffic on a horse while drunk outside a service station. Police arrested the 25-year-old just after 4 a.m. Sunday morning. She had been charged with riding the horse while under the influence of alcohol and received bail. Hey, if nothing else, you Aussie listeners know how to party, don't you? Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.